Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. It's Monday. You know, Monday's a big day to recover. It's to recap not just high school football, college football, and on top of that, coaching changes.
Yep, again to that part of the year.
We're getting to that part, and it's also that time of year we send highlight tapes out for kids that we're working with around the state. I know Jason and me have been working with some kids that we're going to get their tapes out to a bunch of colleges, and it's been crazy. Jace, by the way, Jace is with us today as co-host, Jace Lejeune. Jace.
Thanks, Lee, again.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, hurricane season in South Louisiana kind of pushed back some teams not having a couple of games. Some teams, three games they didn't have. So we're finally getting to where they're in, like, getting four or five games in to do a highlight tape for these college coaches that might not be there. So we might have to send it out again. And if your parents listening to the show, realize this is my 30th year to see this. But this is the time of year where coaches are looking for jobs, even if they have a job, knowing they're going to get fired. I'm talking about assistant coaches, too. And then once this month's over, it's going to be like, it's going to be very, very high percentage of coaches looking for jobs, either looking for more money and leaving or just losing their job. And then they're going to be trying to go to the coaches convention in January, where I go every year, looking for a job with a resume. So it's a wacky world. If you don't deliver the high money, we're going to talk about Ed Orgeron today. We're going to talk about what he did and appreciation of what he did. And it's not all bad. You know, everybody's like, oh, we want him out. You know, but look at what he did do. And we'll talk about high school football today, recap some of the games, some upsets, talk about some teams, high school teams in the state. We'll also talk about, you know, LSU's upcoming game at Ole Miss. We'll talk about the in-state colleges this past weekend. Southeastern Jace did that game. They had 61 points. We'll get Jace's perspective on Southeastern. They're rolling. Not so much for Northwestern. Not so much for Nicholls State. But Southern and Grambling and UL played already earlier
in
the
week. Yeah, UL played. ULM, they had themselves huge win for that program.
Liberty.
Yeah.
Big-time win.
I think they're like 23 or 24-point underdogs, and they won that game. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Liberty almost went undefeated last year.
Yeah. They beat Coastal Carolina last year.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the in-state colleges. And let's go ahead in this segment talk about Ed Orgeron and LSU. If you listen to the show, about a month ago, I think Jace was with me, I kind of hinted around that there was going to be a change before the season was over.
Yeah.
And if you kind of hinted, I was kind of hinting by saying Woodward's going to either do it this week, next week, or whenever he decides it's best for the university. And I think it was the right thing to do. And the reason is that no one's in the dark about what's going to happen. It's a new world. There's an early signing day. You're also competing against other colleges for coaches. So you do need a month out. You need a month out so that you can recruit 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this comes down to. If you don't get the recruits, it doesn't matter who you hire. I don't care if you hire freaking Newt Rockne. You know, I mean,
you
got to have the players. And so
it's a saying. It's all about the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's.
That's right.
Yep.
And so, but to back up, we'll get into the coaching and the timing, but I think it was the right thing to do. I applaud Ed Orgeron for being, having a good attitude, working with LSU, agreeing on the agreement. And not, you know, coaches can be kind of tough when they're let go. They can be kind of difficult, you know, it's an emotional time. And he handled it very class, with a lot of class. And I think the press conference yesterday, Jace, was to let people know LSU's okay and that Ed's okay, they're okay, and there's no negativity.
I'm glad that they're letting Ed finish out the season, too. Just, like, finish the whole way through.
Pressure's off.
Yeah, pressure's off. And actually, pressure's off Ed because he doesn't have to go in every week knowing, okay, where's my job status at now? They agreed on mutual terms. He can just relax. I mean, so many people can say that they are the head coach at LSU. So enjoy it. Enjoy your last couple of games and see how that process goes. And, yep, because you have a couple more memories left to make.
And the players knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew before the Florida game. I'm not saying they were told in a meeting. I'm just saying they knew that there was going to be – and they played hard. The pressure was off of them.
Yep.
And you just could tell that with the pressure being off, that they just came together as a team.
Yep.
And I know they had a team meeting, but my prediction, what's crazy, I was thinking about my prediction the other day, Jace, on the game. I predicted Florida would score 42 points.
Yeah,
and
right.
They did, but yep. I didn't think LSU would score 49.
Yep.
If we did this again, I would still predict the same score.
Yeah, yep.
But kudos to these kids.
Yeah,
I mean, they
played hard.
They could have just said, you know what? We're not going to play hard. We're just going to show up. We're just going to drag
11 o'clock in the morning.
But I really, kudos to this team.
Yes.
Kudos to Ty
Davis Price. Yeah, we've been negative on them all year.
Well, that's the guy that I saw in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's the recruit that I was just so high on that he had that in high school.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you just a little glitch of putting Mashburn.
Yeah.
You know,
who deserves a scholarship, I would say, after the last two games.
And I watched him as a quarterback at St. Paul's in Covington.
Yep.
And then they tweaked putting Dillinger in as a tight end, which this should have been done a month ago.
Yeah.
But the thing is, credit the staff, even though it took a month, that they made some changes.
Yeah.
And Florida had no answer for it.
Yeah, Martinez filled in at right guard.
Yeah,
and it was just a counterplay. That counterplay worked to perfection. No matter they ran to the right, they ran to the left, they had the guards pulling, they got the linemen down blocking. It was a perfect run scheme. They were trying to run that play a lot this year, but it was like Joe Brady finally has confidence in those guys to run it, and it's the type of play where you don't need like a big, strong, powerful offensive line. You just need to hit your angles.
You need openings.
You hit your blocking angles right, and those guys hit their blocking angles right, and that play, it was kind of like the Lombardi sweep. It just, you know, worked. Well, no, you knew Florida knew they were going to run it.
And it's also a combination of Jack playing more.
Yep.
And Dillinger playing enough. They started playing, and they started settling in. And Marlon Martinez obviously got better as the season went on. Number 77 from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
Yep.
He's going to be your center next year, I think. They're going to move him to center. He was a center in high school.
Yeah.
He will make a great center because his form and his handwork and his feet are phenomenal for 6'5", 310.
Yep.
And then Dillinger, who's 6'5",
320. Yeah, he's going to be a good one.
So everybody's like, oh, the O-line's horrible forever. No.
Mm-mm.
People get too, you know, wrapped up into like that week or the week before. They have some talent.
And you saw this offensive line, like, turn the corner against Kentucky because they had success running the football with TDP a lot against Kentucky. But just things just came storming together, and it created a perfect storm.
And not only that, we'll get back to Ed Orgeron in a minute, but to get back to the Florida game, you know, everybody was down on Max Johnson. And we always said, if you give Max a running game, what happens, Jace?
Yeah, he's gonna be pretty successful.
And now nobody's talking about Max at all because you give him a run game, he threw for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I thought he managed the game well, and he was playing well when he had no run game.
Yeah.
So just give him some sort of a running game, and he'll do fine.
And then you see it's a stable offense. And then his stats were 133, but you take away the 72-yard callback with Thomas.
Yeah,
Brian Thomas had a 72-yard touchdown.
Right.
And then he had a 42-yard catch they called back. So that was
Some penalties. And he was also down his top two receivers, Deion Smith, Kayshon Boutte. They were both out.
Right.
So he was really searching for his number one target.
Kudos for Gina High School native J. Ray Jenkins for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, he stepped up. Somebody had to step up with the top two receivers being out. And Jeray, as a veteran, he said, I'm going to take it upon my shoulders and I'll be the guy that steps up.
J. Ray loves to play Florida because in 2 games – 4 touchdowns in 2 games.
Yeah, he did. He scored last year in the 40
games. I mean, he just loves Florida, playing Florida.
Yeah, he does.
And somebody said the other day, can they schedule Florida 5 times a year?
Right.
And look, they've got great talent, Florida. Dan Mullen now is on the hot seat. I mean, it's like LSU had half a team again.
Yeah, that's 2 of LSU's worst teams over the last 20 years.
And they just
And they beat Florida both times. Yep.
It's incredible. Again, I never thought in a million years, but kudos to those kids and the defense. Even though they gave up 42 points, I mean, the four interceptions.
That's
Dwight McLaughlin stepping up when INT Baskerville
had an INT. And Damone Clark sealed the game. Yeah. Yep.
Out in the flats guarding a guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was back there in coverage with the interception.
So, we can't nitpick that win. That was a win we didn't think would happen. And so, yeah. But the kids played with a lot of energy. And the fans was really, by the way, thanks to the fans
they showed
being
up.
There.
Yeah, they showed
they
up.
They had a crowd that actually got, I heard, I had some people that went. The crowd got bigger as the first quarter went on. Mm-hmm. And then it filled in, and it was a good 70,000, and people thought it would be like in the 50s.
Right.
And so that's going to keep this program together, the glue. Now going forward, I think more people are excited.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the next coach? And let's take a break. Speaking of that, we're going to talk about Ed Orgeron. Jace, if you want to ask me, we'll talk about guys that I think are going to be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going for a big fish.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big name,
this
no matter
deep,
who it
this
is.
This is deep sea fishing. They're going for a very big, big, big coach. Now, there's names thrown around all the time. Every time this happens, and it's never the names you hear at first. Yep. We'll be back. You'll listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Jace Lejeune is our co-host today. First segment was LSU Florida game. We meant to talk about Orgeron to begin, but let's go and go back to Orgeron.
We had to start with LSU Florida. We had to.
My take on Ed Orgeron's tenure at LSU, Jace, 2019 season. Is how we're going to remember him.
Yep, definitely.
The greatest offensive in the history of college football, and the reason you can see that, even the pro announcers are saying Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards.
Yeah, Thaddeus Moss.
That was the – and then Cushenberry, who's starting in the league, and Damian Lewis.
Yeah, Sadiq Charles.
That was the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can say he didn't do this, he didn't do that, blah, 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 whatever.
He was still the head coach.
He won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Was he the long-term coach? No. Did he fill in when they needed him, being from Louisiana? He came in, he kept it going. He won a national championship.
You look at it, you have all these great coaches. You know, Nick Saban, you go Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson, Newt Rodney. You go down the list. Well, the coach of the greatest college football team of all time is going to be Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, and look, but this is how they're going to remember him.
Yep.
And here's some older listeners. He's going to be remembered like Lloyd Carr at Michigan and Larry Coker at Miami.
Right, that had that one
national championship. They had their little
Gene
time.
Gene
Chizik, had Cam Newton.
Right.
And then... Auburn, they can do all they want about how bad Gene Chizik was, but they're going to still remember that Cinderella season with Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Coker won a national championship at Miami.
And that was a stacked Miami team.
Big time. And guess who cost him his job? The Peach Bowl, we beat him with Matt Flynn, remember?
Yeah, right.
After that, it was over.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then Lloyd Carr with Michigan. He had that one great year.
Yeah, year I was born, actually.
Year born.
Yeah, yep.
Mm. And then they will always bring Lloyd Carr back and honor him. They'll do the same with Coker at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same with Switzer at Oklahoma for winning a couple. You can't win them all. And he leaves on good terms.
Yep.
He's getting all his money. LSU is able to go out and find a coach. There's no negativity.
Yep.
That's what they want.
Right.
They want the brand to stay strong.
Yep.
Right.
And that Florida win helped a lot to smooth things over.
You know how many recruits watch Florida play?
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to LSU, but the state of Florida is watching.
Yep.
And they're thinking they're going to roll LSU, and they're like, wow, these kids, they did it again.
And talk about fan support. And they look at the fans and how they're filling the seats, and it's like, this is them filling the stadium
what
when they're not
year.
Yeah, a bad year. Imagine what a good year looks like. So, yeah, the fan support pays a major difference in recruiting.
And there's several kids that Florida and LSU were recruiting, and now they're going to be like, I don't want to go to Florida. I mean, they were like,
I want to pour it down the bayou.
Yeah. I want to come here where you can have a bad year and still beat Florida.
Yep.
So if I'm a Floridian, if I'm a Florida native and I'm a recruit, I'm like, even if you don't come to LSU, like, I don't know, I'm going to play for Florida now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Mullen's fourth year. I mean, it's
yeah, I know there's going to be a little bit of heat on them if they lost to LSU twice.
They still got the cocktail party with Georgia, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not getting any easier.
No, it's not.
And if he loses that game,
yep.
Boy, it's going to be.
Now they're the same record as LSU. They're both 4-3 right now.
Well, they got the same SEC record as A&M LSU. I mean,
yep.
A&M's got two losses.
Yep.
All right. Hey, all right, Jimbo, right, whatever. But if A&M loses to LSU, guess what? That is what the LSU fans want from here on out.
But it helps with Jimbo because when you knock off Alabama, I mean, that makes everything easier for him too. So the noise is not as much over there.
If you're an LSU fan and you're listening to the show, if you could only get one win out of these two, who would you take? Would it be A&M or Ole Miss? I'm going to say A&M.
Yeah, A&M. Yep.
If you lose to Ole Miss, yeah, I know it's the rival of this, you know, the biggest rival ever LSU's ever had, right?
Yeah.
But if you can pick, you agree with me, A&M, because of recruiting and everything else.
Yeah, because you're hitting that Texas area too, and Jimbo being a former LSU coach, and what happened at 7 overtime game. There's a lot of bad blood between those two programs.
I don't know if LSU, they don't have a lot of players, so they can't have any injuries to finish this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's going to look like by the time they get to A&M.
But we've been saying all along that LSU is going to come in and beat somebody they're not supposed to be.
Right, they got the talent.
And that was Florida. That was another example.
But to end it, thank you, Ted Orgeron.
Yes.
I mean, you know, whether you liked him or didn't like him.
Whatever you think about him.
Yeah. I mean, 2019 national championship.
I mean, how many coaches can say that they've won a national championship?
And LSU has had three in the last 25 years. Three.
Yep.
Three
right.
different
I
coaches.
Mean, and it was their last three coaches.
Right.
It was Saban, I mean, 1-1.
No college can say that right now.
No. No.
I know Saban can throw out his fingers and they all have rings on them, but that's one school, one guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean.
With three different coaches, they've won one national championship. That's pretty impressive. So, you got to keep the streak going. So, whoever the new coach is.
Well, that's why the you know, any national media guy that says LSU's not a good job, he must be really not a big fan of LSU because LSU's thought of as a marquee job. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a top, I would
top
say,
five.
Top five job.
Easy.
College football.
Easy.
Yep.
Facilities, I mean, the fans are in the
top
three.
Yeah, the fan
three.
Support. The resources.
The recruiting.
Recruiting, the resources. I mean, everything. You check all the boxes.
Yeah.
The program history, the tradition. All of that. You check all the boxes.
Let's take a break. Come back, Jace. We'll talk about candidates. Who could be the next LSU football coach? And I'll give my 2 cents. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Jace Lejeune is our co-host today. Our topic, we're going to continue this segment about maybe who the coach will be. I'm going to give out some names because I'm going to follow the type of guys Woodward likes.
Mm-hmm.
This is not based on me talking to anybody. This is just based on knowing how Woodward operates.
Works and based off what he's done in this past history.
Here are some things you got to have that to get the job. One, morally, you have to have a good resume.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, you can't have anything in the news. They gotta have a clean record of
PR.
PR has to be pretty strong.
Yep.
That's one. Two, you have to be a guy who can run a big organization. So you can't just be someone that's at a small college with a winning record. That might not be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Three, you got to be able to recruit, obviously, at a high level. Four, you've got to be a talented coach of some sort, meaning you got to be an offensive guy or defensive guy. You've got to have a background that you can actually develop an offense or a defense, because yep. the last two coaches were not coaches that could run the show in any way. Like mm-hmm. Les Miles was not offensive coordinator or D coordinator, and neither was Ed.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to go get a guru who can actually, like Saban's a guru for defense. Like he don't even need defensive coaches. He just has them because he has to hire them.
Yeah.
You know, Kiffin, he's not going to make it because he's had an interesting history. Yeah,
he has. He might check one box, but he might not yeah. be another.
Napier's on his way to being a great coach, but he hasn't done it at a high level
yeah.
and long.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Tucker is up and coming. I don't know if he's got enough resume yet yeah. for this, what I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But Mel Tucker, I know him. I met him when the day he was hired. He was with me.
And he knows what the expectations are of those shoes.
But when I'm talking about big fish,
right.
I'm talking about a guy that's done it, won championships, eats and sleeps his job, works 18 hours a day, doesn't burn out like an Urban Meyer, so mm-hmm. he's out.
Yeah, right.
And so it's got to be a special perk. But you know what? Everybody wants this job, and everything's on the table.
Yep.
I would not even disclude Dabo Swinney. Dabo's at a point to where he's been at Clemson, he's done it all, a change. But you never know who might want to leave. You never know who might would have contacted Woodward.
Yeah.
The agent. Remember, the agent mm-hmm. starts the process.
Mm-hmm.
The coach always said, no, I haven't talked to anybody.
Yeah.
But the agent will talk to the AD. And the
yeah,
agent
there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Right.
It's all politics.
So I would not count out big people like Dabo Swinney.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Fickell is the one everybody's zeroing in on because he's got a little more resume than Billy Napier and Mel Tucker.
Yeah.
He's been doing it a long time.
That's personally actually my number yeah. one guy. So
my number one guy is Dabo Swinney
mm-hmm.
if he leaves. I like Luke Fickell because he's been at it a long time,
yeah.
and he's the next great one, I believe.
And he's a defensive guy. He's yes. had a lot of success with defense. You can find offensive guys. I mean, right. they're all over the place, but those really good defensive minds, they are really rare and hard
Don't
to find.
Don't count out Mario Cristobal at Oregon.
Mario Cristobal, too. I mean, he's actually right below my list behind Fickell.
He fits everything I mentioned.
Yep.
He's been at it a while. He's proven. Now, Oregon, nobody I can think can take Oregon. I don't know. I think Oregon's just at a certain stage.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Chip Kelly and him can really get the most out of Oregon, yeah.
Everybody is on this list. They've talked about the Alabama offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
I'm not sold on Bill.
Yeah, I'm not really sold on that name. Now, he's had success at the college level, more than the NFL level. He's a good coach, but I'm still not really sold on Bill O'Brien.
And I don't think Jimbo's leaving A&M. I think that's done.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Even though he hired him, Woodward did.
And that's why I get why a lot of people may be saying him because he hired him, and maybe Peterson too because he hired him at Washington.
Peterson doesn't fit everything that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
His personality is not a fit for LSU, I don't believe.
Yeah.
And if you were going to go that route, just go ahead and get Aranda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Aranda's right. personality, the thing is he's quiet. I don't know, you got to
be introvert.
He's
a genius.
He's a genius for defense. Now, again, he hasn't been at it long enough
mm-hmm.
as a head coach.
Yeah, he hasn't been at it long enough, even though he's having pretty good success right now at Baylor. But, yeah, he would be a little bit down my list.
This is a hire based on, again, a lot of experience,
mm-hmm.
proven, great resume. Again, I don't think Lane Kiffin's somebody LSU wants to even get involved with right now.
Just because of all the, like you said, all the PR stuff.
Yeah,
and
he's had some issues.
But he's an offensive genius, yes.
He's had some issues.
But he's had some, just look at, almost everywhere he's been with Tennessee
right.
and the Raiders and all that.
But there's more candidates here than what people can. I'm just letting the fans know this is a job a lot of people
Those
want.
Are just names on the surface, but
right.
I'm sure
there's other ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about the pro guys who might be head coaches.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about other big names that have been at schools that you think, oh, he wouldn't leave. Don't ever say he wouldn't leave.
You don't
know,
the money's right.
You don't know what people are thinking. Like mm-hmm. I said, Dabo Swinney is who I keep going back to because you think, well, he's not going to leave. But you know what?
Yeah.
He might want another challenge. He's it's getting a little stagnant there, and he's been to 4 national championships in, what, 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah. The only other thing I can think about Dabo, maybe he's trying to save it because I know he played at Alabama. Maybe he's weighing Nick Saban out, but that's the only thing I can think of.
I think Jimbo wants the Bama job.
Mm-hmm. Because I can see Dabo wanting that Bama job.
No offense to A&M fans, but if Alabama comes calling to Jimbo or Kiffin, and again, I don't see Bama hiring Kiffin either. Same scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I just same scenario. It's like when he completely grows up, you know.
Yeah. And for Dabo too, it's going to be important for him because you're hiring another like CEO type of guy because he's never been an offensive coordinator, yeah. defensive coordinator.
But you don't want to follow Saban's shoes either. You don't want to be the first guy. I don't know if Dabo would want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a tough guy to follow.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's going to follow him is going to be
right.
tough
It took
shoes.
Years to get things right after Bear Bryant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like several coaches, Bill Curry, you know, Gene Stallings, even though he won one, he got fired. Oh, that's another one national championship coach.
Right, Gene Stallings, yeah.
Won one and got fired the following year.
Yeah.
Think about that, LSU fans. He got fired the following year of losing, having a bad year from a national championship.
Yeah, I believe the coach after Era Parseghian for Notre Dame only had one national championship as well.
And one last name I'm going to throw out because you don't know what's really going on. Coach Kelly at Notre Dame, who I think is a phenomenal coach,
mm-hmm.
don't think that he would not consider LSU possibly because he's been at Notre Dame forever.
And he's done – like he's left Cincinnati, you know, when
– And he might want another change.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that wants a new change.
Everybody wants to get to the SEC. Okay, that's the thing.
Yep.
And Oklahoma joining in Texas makes these coaches' egos even triple want to get to the SEC. It's all about getting to this conference.
Hey, who knows? Maybe Lincoln Riley wants another change. You never know.
I'm not sold on Lincoln, though. His defenses are bad, and they've always been bad. And
That's why I keep on referring to Fickell and Crispo. I want a defensive-minded guy. And then you can always find a great
offensive
play caller.
There's a lot of
offensive
coordinators.
Yep.
There's a bunch of young Cliff Kingsbury's.
And Joe Brady's.
Like that.
And they got them all over the place.
It's like the young guy that from Baylor whose dad was the coach at Baylor and they got in trouble.
Kendall Briles.
I mean, there's a bunch of those guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't get them in their late 20s. Like, Brady's not the only guy that was, you know, a genius. There's,
yeah, they got you got all kinds of them everywhere. Yeah.
I mean,
as interns going up the ranks,
I mean,
you know.
The defense is a different animal. You're right.
Yeah. They're rare. They're hard to find.
We're gonna
especially
go
in today's age.
But here's my thought. If they pull off a Kelly, a Dabo, or a Fickell, those would be the three. And you might hear these guys being interviewed, like Mel Tucker getting an interview, right? Yeah, definitely. You know,
Tucker definitely deserves an interview.
And you know what? Between agents and the actual coach, they'll go through 15, 20 coaches.
Yeah, because right now we're the top two jobs opening right now. It's LSU and USC right
and
now.
And I think
LSU's head of USC in
USC
that aspect.
USC is way back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, LSU put in a national championship 2 years ago. USC hadn't seen one since Pete Carroll years ago. So,
right.
Not everybody wants a USC job. Again, everybody wants to get to the SEC.
Yep. Yep.
And everybody wants to dethrone Saban, you know. And I guess the only coach that's successful right now that's not considering the LSU job is Kirby Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby's there for life unless they get rid of him one day.
Right.
Unless he has a debacle and loses to Florida and finishes as not, you know, strong. You never know. So.
And we can scratch off Nick Saban never coming back too.
Yeah,
because
and Nick at the age he is, this is not a 5-year deal left for him. I don't see 5 more for him at Bama. I know they keep saying, oh, he'll retire. But
he's going to coach the rest of it out at Alabama.
Over there. And it might be just 5 more. You know what I mean? So. And don't take his word on who to hire because he's going to be here 5 more years.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Don't let him pick your successor or as a advice guy. And I know Woodward's friends with him, but Woodward's not going to base it on who even Nick says because, heck, he's going to be coaching.
He doesn't want the guy to beat him. He doesn't want to give his best guy away.
Right, and media people are already jumping. And I'm like, no.
No. You got to be smart about that stuff.
No. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about in-state colleges, and then we'll finish the show with our final break about high school games this past Friday and Thursday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Lee Burkine, your host. Jace Lejeune, the co-host today, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine. Go to LAFootballMagazine.com to get your preview issue still, South or North, or digital. And I want to thank our sponsors, John Harvey Toyota out of Shreveport, Bossier City, and Lexus Harvey Subaru, John Harvey Toyota, low prices. They are honest people. Tommy Harvey is a huge football fan, big supporter of high schools. When you're thinking of a used or new car, you got to go to John Harvey Toyota, Shreveport, Bossier City. Also, Trezent Care Tire Company, Devin Holly. They've been in business since 1971 out of Baton Rouge. Call 331-8144. That's 331-8144. Every tire that you can think of on the planet, they have. They also do pickup and delivery. And also, Medin's Collision Center in Baton Rouge on Kincaid Avenue, open since the 1960s, owned by Chris and Dominica Medin. Great people, family-owned. If you need a paint job or body work on your car or truck in this crazy state of bad weather, go to Medin's Collision Center in Baton Rouge. And Jace, our new sponsor.
Yeah, Gros Savon. Gros Savon, the majestic mansion in the marsh.
There you go, man. And I've been a part of that. It's a great place to go. Bring your family on a trip. Set up an overnight lodge. They got great lodges with chefs. They got chefs that cook your food in the morning and at night. They got great place to, you know, go on hunting trips or fishing. Saltwater and freshwater, Jace.
Yeah, the true sportsman paradise.
Yeah.
That's Gros Savon.
Number to call, what's...
Number to call is 337-598-2357. That is 337-598-2357. So schedule your trip today.
Yeah, right outside of Lake Charles. Claude Leach, great people. Great people. Love football. There's big supporters of what we do. He's a listener of the show.
Yeah.
We also... not going to promote it until we do it, but we're close to doing something very special soon with the podcast to give everybody a video version. Go to colleges, Jace, and you did the play-by-play this past weekend for Southeastern.
Right.
I saw the stats on Cole Kelly. I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about it, but they're great stats.
Oh, yeah.
61 points, but I looked at his stats. They were really good.
Yeah, and there were, in the first half, he actually had more touchdown passes than incompletions. I mean, he was really just distributing the football all over the place, and I was really impressed by it too, because I believe they entered the game with 8 or 9 receivers with 10 catches or more. So they're really deep at the receiver position, and they recruit a lot of those guys are in-state Louisiana guys that are receivers. And Cole, he's just getting better and better each and every week. And he is playing into a level where he could be a third or fourth NFL round draft pick.
6'7", 245, changed his body when he was 270 at Arkansas, Turlings Catholic graduate. The guy, Mitchell from Plaquemines.
Austin Mitchell. Yeah, he was a walk-on. Obviously, he played for my dad at Plaquemine High School, and he started off as a walk-on. Only took a couple of days off from a scholarship, and he is one of the greatest receivers statistically to ever go through Southeastern, and he's going to actually have to be the number one guy because C.J. Turner got hurt in the third quarter, and he's Cole Kelly's favorite target, and it did not look that good. He was on crutches. We were talking about it during the broadcast, but he was on crutches in the sidelines, and he could be out for the rest of the season.
That hurts because C.J.'s 6'2".
Yep.
He's long from East St. John High School.
Yep.
Another pro prospect.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's a Sunday guy, too.
And then Austin's the opposite with 5'9", 8". You know,
A speedy guy, slot guy in space. But Austin's going to have to step up as number one now.
And they've got other receivers. They got some guys coming up.
They do.
Up
they have Nick Kovacs. He's a transfer. They got some transfer guys. Tim Wilson, he came in from
San
Diego State.
And the Riverside High School kid is
Gage Larvadane has already emerged himself as a...
So he'll step up.
Play web. He'll step up. Anthony Sprowock from
Nicar. Yeah.
He's done a good job. Ed McGee had himself a big catch in the middle of the football field. They got another really good tight end from San Diego State. They got weapons all over, weapons galore.
How do you watch the Southland Conference now 2 years? Well, 1 year and 2 years is weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
spring and now
the fall.
They obviously going to be a playoff team.
Yeah,
it's curious to see who they would probably. And I know it's early to say what bracket, but.
Mm-hmm.
when you get down to the six or eight teams up north, and
the North
it
Dakota,
gets a little harder.
Dakotas,
it gets a little harder. But it'd be interesting to see how Southeastern holds their own in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I actually just threw a stat out during the broadcast too, but I told everybody, if y'all think this is high flying offenses, you gotta watch Eastern Washington, because their quarterback threw for 700 yards and 8 touchdowns in that game. That would be really interesting if they play Southeastern. It might be 80 to 73 or something like that.
Might be 1,500 yards passing in a game
between the both of them.
Maybe 14 touchdowns.
Yep. Forget the circus. Just go through the go see a Southland Conference game. You'll see the balls flying all over the air instead of trapeze stars flying through the air.
Yeah, we don't mean that for the state fair, but yeah, don't skip the circus.
Go see a Southland Conference game.
And then, you know, I wanted to mention that quietly under the radar, McNeese is bouncing back a little bit. They've had a rough year.
Yeah.
But they beat Northwestern State, who's had a tough year.
Yeah, they did. I'm actually going to have to – I'm going to be calling Southeastern McNeese in a couple weeks. Mm. And that's always going to be a tough game. And McNeese plays them tough. McNeese beat Nichols over the spring. And they gave LSU a pretty good battle you know, earlier this fall. And – yeah, I mean, I expect that to be a pretty good matchup. But Manise, they're always going to be tough under Frank Wilson.
Southern won. They
Southern
won this weekend.
At both the HBU schools.
Grambling had a win. And then Tulane had an open date.
Yeah, they didn't play. UL played earlier in the week on Tuesday.
App State,
which was big for them.
Yeah. You know, ULL's got a great O-line. I've mentioned that.
They're the best in the state.
Yeah, and then we're looking at, you know, Louisiana Tech, I believe, had an open date.
Yeah, a big win that we have to get credit for is ULM for what they did against Liberty. They were huge, heavy underdogs during that game.
Hugh Freeze.
Everybody was talking about the big upset with LSU over Florida, but, I mean, right there with it as far as across the country, and obviously number two, Iowa losing, that had to be the next big upset of the week was ULM.
Well, yeah, Liberty won, like, what, 14 out of 16 games? I mean, something crazy with Hugh Freeze.
A great quarterback, Hugh Freeze.
And ULM is basically a team of walk-ons.
Mm-hmm.
And what Terry Bowden's done.
They've already won 3 games.
Coach Rodriguez. Even Rodriguez's son's hurt, the quarterback, so they have to go to another quarterback. ULM, I'm telling you, if next year, it's an old saying, next year, but truly, next year, they're going to be freaking good.
Yeah, this was a lanyap year. I mean, if Coach Ballany said, we get one win this year, we're going to be ecstatic. And they got three because they did not win a game last year.
I'm helping them with their recruiting right now in the state of Louisiana and helping them with names and information and guys under the radar trying to help them.
It was a good week.
Yeah, it's a good week. Switching to high school football, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. We got some games. Jace pulled up. I watched about 27 games on film this past week. My brain is mush. And then I stayed home, and then I did go to a game. I went to St. Michael's and Ascension Catholic, really just to kind of have fun finally, you know, not to have to go scouting, because I've seen Ascension Catholic, I've seen St. Michael's. But I appreciate also, I want to give a shout-out to Greg Wood and his company Gage for allowing me to tailgate with their family and all the St. Michael's parents. Man, you're talking about a great group of people, Jace. They brought about 1,000 people.
Yeah, they bring a lot of fans.
For homecoming, they filled the whole stand. Could have been 1,300 people, I'm just guessing. Tough team. We'll talk about that game when we come back. Talk about the other games. Talk about your game, Dunham Episcopal, and some upsets in the state. Some teams in the state that are doing pretty good. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Jace Lejeune's with me. This segment, we're going to talk about high school football. Again, I went to the Ascension Catholic game. Ascension Catholic came back and won. St. Michael's, tough team, man. They actually, the starting quarterback had to sit out, Jace, the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back the second quarter. They were down, not by much, by Ascension Catholic, but just...
Yeah, 28-24 was the final score. Ascension Catholic
yeah,
won.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
Tough game. Good.
Ascension Catholic's not your normal 1A team.
Yeah. They're huge. They're, yeah.
You know, Tapp is on defense, committed to Texas, the DN. He didn't have his best
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I was about to ask you how he did.
You know, he's a kid, right? Not every game's going to be
You're going to be up for every game, you know?
He ain't going to look like... you know, an All-American in college every week. That's what people don't understand about these kids. But
you don't have an off game.
But they're playing
game.
4A St. Michael's, who's got a big O-line. I got a chance to see him against a 4A team. So he did struggle a little bit against a bigger O-line. Okay.
And they're going to be double-teaming him. You know, they don't make sure he doesn't.
And they did that, but he had his moments. Mm-hmm. And when he did make the plays, he was pretty dominant. But Ascension Catholic has 5A talent. You know that. They're 280 pounds on the O-line.
Yeah.
They're bigger than they were when they went to the Dome.
Right.
And they're pretty dangerous for the playoffs for any 1A team.
Yeah, and the pre-end kid is really
good,
too.
He's good. Yep. I mean, they've got some good players. Punter's really good. Special teams is good.
Mm-hmm. They've always been pretty solid at those aspects, too.
St. Michael's, if they can get in the playoffs, I think that would be great because they're a blue-collar, tough, smash-mouth. You know, every play is like it's its last. I'll enjoy watching them play because they don't have a bunch of D1 players. But they're very young.
They're disciplined. Yep.
And they got a chance to get that program to another level. I think Coach Zach Leger is
he's
done a really good job. He went there.
Yeah.
Going to the next games, you know, we've got some other games that were pretty interesting, Jace, that you want to mention.
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to mention Episcopal every single week.
Right.
But I'm going to mention this one because it's one of those things you had to be there.
Dunham Episcopal.
That's going to be for the district championship. And what a game it was. Dunham was up by 17. They were up 27-10 first half. They scored on the last play before halftime, and it was a quarterback run. That's all it was. And they scored on that play. And, you know, me and my broadcast partner, Kurt DeLay, were thinking it was going to be a long game for Episcopal, but they scored three touchdowns in a matter of 2 minutes, and it was a back-and-forth game. Mm-hmm. And Ashley Dunham had the lead with about a minute left to play, and they hit on a double pass with both the quarterbacks to their best player, Thomas Yarman, for the game winner. So it was a 44-40 game. It was one of the best high school games I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, tough loss for Dunham, but Dunham will be in the playoffs.
Yep.
These two teams, you know each other. Parents know each other. Kids know each other. It's always going to be a crazy game.
Yep.
Some other games in the state that
definitely.
We
St. Aug beat Westgate.
That's big.
That was really big, in my opinion, because, Westgate has a lot of talent. 27-14, you talk about. They have a really good tight end.
Danny Lewis,
a quarterback. Well, he was actually a receiver. Now
Jordan
he's playing
Doucette.
Quarterback, Jordan Doucette. And they beat St. Thomas More pretty bad a couple weeks ago. And they're really talented. But, you know, St. Aug's one of those teams that talent shows up, it's going to be hard to beat them. And in that case, it was.
Well, in 5A, when this thing gets down to the same teams, like Scotlandville,
and Catholic
Curtis,
High.
Catholic High,
that private,
Martin, John
that,
Curtis.
Right.
And then St. Aug.
Mm-hmm.
St. Aug's a team you don't want to play.
No.
I mean, you can't – you just so much speed. And look, ask the Zachary coaches who the best team was they played this year, St. Aug.
Yeah, yep.
Even though they beat St. Aug, St. Aug is just – they're tough, man. You know, they're not always this tough. They're not always this together as a team. This team is really good. And the only reason they have a loss this year is because they're in the Catholic League.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Jesuit. I mean, Jesuit's, to me, my – sleeper to maybe be in the state title game because I just from what I've seen.
And they beat John Curtis, which you can beat John Curtis.
And they haven't beaten John Curtis in a long time, so that was a big win for Jesuit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Jesuit, Curtis, Brother Martin, St. Aug, Scotlandville, Catholic, and Bird Young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If Bird's in that conversation, they're just very young. I watched them this year.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot on their OD line, and they're a little different in the trenches.
Yep.
Their skill-wise, they're pretty strong.
Yeah, they're pretty good this year, and yeah, I still can't believe NACA Central beat them this year. They're really good this year. NACA
Central's always has a team. They always got players. It's just putting it together. Mm-hmm. It's a sleeping giant.
A big victory because Holy Cross was struggling this year.
Right.
Even though Rummel is a young team, it's still Rummel.
Yeah.
But that's a huge victory for Coach Salter from IGO and Holy Cross, 28-21 to beat Rummel.
Well, Holy Cross is a team in the Catholic League that started as the youngest team this year. And the good thing about youth is that they become experienced come playoff time. So if Holy Cross gets in, anything's possible in this league of the same people playing one another, because obviously they're going to want to rematch with somebody that beat them in the playoffs if they can get in.
Yeah, and Bird did beat Benton pretty big this week.
Benton's a good team.
So, yeah. Bird, you can definitely throw them in the
mix.
And
they're like – Bird's like the Holy Cross of Shreveport. They started the season really young. They got a good quarterback who's a junior who's they're building around. They've got some very good players on defense. Pons moved to receiver, who was the quarterback.
Yep.
He's done a good job. And they have a lot of good players still, but they're coming around late.
Yep. St. Thomas More defeated Terwilliger Catholic without Walker Howard. Yeah. And Terwilliger Catholic was having a great season this year. That's a big victory for St. Thomas More. And I believe if it wasn't overtime, it was like late fourth quarter, but 41-35 was the final score. It was a good one.
That's like LSU Ole Miss playing. I mean, yep. You know, for high school football, those two teams in Lafayette, again, know one another. All the parents know one another. Two Catholic schools just duking it out. And you can throw away records in that game.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, St. Thomas More without Walker, big win.
Yeah.
With beating Terlings.
Going to North Louisiana for this one, this was a huge game, especially in 2A, because these two teams in 2A, they could contend for a state championship this year. That's Manny, obviously, and Avoyelles. Avoyelles is really good this year. They got like a 250-pound running back, that bowling ball.
He's 235. But he's 6'1".
Yeah.
And he's like,
he can move for a big man. Yeah, he's athletic.
And he's unstoppable in 1A. And so they run him like 20 times a game, 25. And he is just, and you know that attacks of Avoyelles has. They have three running backs. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That triple option. And it's just crazy to stop.
He doesn't want to punt the football. Coach Boone, he doesn't want to punt the football.
And
at
look,
all.
He's been so close. He's kind of been banging at the door, right, to get to the semis every year.
This is probably his best team in a while.
I'm all for Avoyelles getting there because I'm pulling for those veteran coaches, right, to get there finally. And then, you know, Manny's just Manny, man. They're loaded. Coach Curtis does a great job. They're not going anywhere.
This could be potentially a 2A state championship. We might see this game again in the playoffs.
Might.
But Manny defeated Avoyelles 34-30, which was a
and look,
great
you
game.
Know, the running back for Avoyelles, who's only a junior.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Brandon Jacobs when he was at Assumption.
Okay.
How big of an unstoppable figure he was.
Yeah.
You know, Brandon Jacobs was 6'4", 250.
Mm-hmm.
Let that set in, listeners. He was 6'4", 250, not a fullback. Running back.
Yeah, my
he
dad
led
coached against them.
Assumption to, like, heights they wouldn't have went to. And I remember him rushing for, like, 300-something yards against Curtis on 40 carries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody on Curtis held on to him every play. And that's what I see with Avoyelles. You got this big back who's super talented, like Brandon Jacobs. And it's like, go ahead, stop him. He's getting the ball.
He's going to fall forward.
Right, we're
going to
give you the
yards.
Play. He's getting the ball, okay? Yep. Put your nine in the box. And, if you do stop him, guess what? You're going to be worn out come fourth quarter, and he's not.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was Jacobs. That's this kid. And they got a couple other running backs.
Yeah, they got some good talent over there.
And, you know, they're not – you know what they're going to do, man. They're just going to line up and just run right at you.
Yeah, it's been a down year for Faraday.
They're rebuilding a little bit.
Mm-hmm, yeah, but General Trost is – speaking of 2A, 2A is going to be interesting to watch this year because General Trost is they can contend for a state championship this year as well. They won 60-0 against Faraday.
Coach Wells needs to get, like, many plaques for not just this year and last year, but what he's done at General Trost is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not just winning. I mean, he's averaging, like, 55 points a game. Last year, they were, 10-0 during the season?
Yeah, remember the Evangel win? I thought that sparked everything for him.
And
last
I mean,
year.
They're not. People think, oh, they must have 100 players. No, man, like 30 kids. I mean, but they are ready to play every week. They're tough.
And one of the sleeper players that you brought to me a lot, because you've seen him on film a lot, is their quarterback.
He's
not,
good.
Not a lot of people really talk about
great
him.
Great athlete.
Yeah, great player.
And you know what people don't realize is that General Trask lost half of his group of kids from last year.
Yeah.
So it's not like they had another
They were a senior
wave.
Team. Yeah.
And he brought the quarterback back, but he's rebuilt around him. And it's incredible, again, what Tyranno Wells has done at General Trask around the Monroe area. It's really, really incredible. I know you're going to want to mention Neville, too.
Yes, and that was the next game I was actually going to mention was talk about 4A state championship.
Yeah.
Neville, it could be Neville's year back. It's been a couple of years, but and contend with the Edna Cars of the world.
Yeah.
Neville defeated a really good Minden football team 30-0.
I've
shut them out.
I've seen Minden a few times. I've seen Neville. Minden's not a bad team, and I think Neville's hitting their stride, Jace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knows about Will Campbell. I've been talking about him for 4 years. He's going to be a starter. He'll be the best freshman O lineman in the country next year for LSU. He will
start next year.
And I think he will sign with LSU. He wants to stay home.
Mm.
They have another offensive lineman named Lance Hurd.
Okay.
Lance is 6'7", 320. He runs a 4.940. Now, Lance Hurd is a transfer from Bastrop High School. I saw Lance Hurd as a freshman at Bastrop.
Okay.
As a D lineman. And you could tell, he's going to be an O-lineman. Well, Neville moved him to O-line, and he's just starting to learn O-line.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy is like, you used to talk about a wall. When they pull Will at 6'6", 320.
I'm just giving myself up. All right.
Lance Hurd.
Just go. Just
like,
go.
Just
go.
Like, you might want to get out the way.
Yeah, I'm getting out the way. You can go ahead. You can go ahead. I'll just get out the way.
Here's a guy, 6'6", 320, runs a 4.8. And here's a guy, 6'7", 320, runs a 4.9. And they bring it. And, I mean, that's not even legal to me. That's, like, illegal.
that's unfair.
I mean, that's like having
– It's like when Whitworth was playing tight end. Like, why?
No, I mean,
why do that?
Why do I think Neville? Because A.J. Allen is a great back behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have a great defense.
And Nee Sledge.
Batterford is a great guy that can manage, and he can do everything.
Great high school quarterback, yeah.
And he's a sleeper athlete for the 1AA level. I think he'd be a great receiver, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have all the weapons that if they got into a power play with Edna Carr, they could control the clock.
Yeah.
They can keep it away from Edna
Carr. I think this is the year. It's been a while. Because remember, there was a couple years where it was Neville and the Carr every single year. I think we'll see that again this year. And I truly believe that Neville can beat and the Carr this year.
And let me throw this out before we end the show. There's one verbal commitment that LSU's got to hold on to with a coaching change. Because, you know, everybody's like, oh, we're going to lose recruits. No. Most of the verbals are going to go to LSU. Some weren't probably going to go maybe anyway in the end because there's changes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the new coach and reevaluating whoever was committed with the prior coach.
I think I know where you're going with this, but you can say it.
Aaron Anderson.
Yep.
So Aaron Anderson, I know he wears LSU gloves and, you know, he's been a fan and all that stuff, but I know Nicky Saban is all over him to be a Jalen Waddle part two, okay? And they got JoJo Earl from LSU, but here's the difference. If LSU gets that big hire, which I think Woodward will, then that coach will go get to meet Aaron, and guess what? He's probably already recruited him, right?
Yeah.
Because every head coach that's a big name coach has been recruiting Aaron Anderson. So it's all about relationships, and guess what? If you hire a big name coach, everybody LSU's recruiting right now, that guy's already recruiting him.
Yeah.
That's another key to this hire.
Yeah, like Aaron Anderson, he's going to be a guy that not only stars in the offense, but he's going to be returning kicks and punts for you.
Aaron Anderson is something LSU hasn't had since Skylar Green, and he's way better than Skylar Green. Skylar, don't get offended. You were great.
Oh, yeah, he was a good one.
But Aaron Anderson is Rocket Ismail good. I mean, he's JoJo Earl, who LSU lost, is not as good as Aaron Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Aaron Anderson's better than Jalen Waddle to me. I think he's got a warp speed. You ever heard of that different gear?
Yeah, yep.
He's got warp speed, and guess what? He will run over you, meaning he's not a track guy. He's actually a football guy that can run.
He's a football player that has track
that
speed.
That runs 4.29.
Yep.
And guess what? He's not 160. He's 190. 5'9". Who cares? Yeah. He's different.
He's put together. Like, he's
different.
He's not small.
But Aaron Anderson, you got to have him. Like, you got to spend a night at his house. You got to get the whole staff in their car sleeping. Like, don't leave until he signs.
Yeah,
he's that good.
He's not Trent Holiday that's 5'2". I mean,
Aaron Anderson will be the talk of wherever he goes for the whole NCAA. I mean, he'll be a guy that says, no, I'm not doing a touchback in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. I'm returning every single time.
Because I'm going to score every 10 times I touch it on kickoffs.
Yep.
And by the way, if you want me to punt return, I will be what we thought Stingley would be as a punt returner. I will be a guy that can take it home.
If he signs with LSU, he is your starting punt return next year as a freshman.
And as a slot receiver.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And people go, are you crazy? Guess what? He will be your starting slot
he's
receiver.
He's that good. Yeah.
He is off the charts. Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know he doesn't have a cape on, but the way he runs, you think he has a Superman cape when he runs. He's that good.
Yep. If there's any other games I want to just throw out before we leave, Woodlawn and Samaw played, and Woodlawn won 48-41.
Oh, man. You know, I want to mention this. Woodlawn's hitting their stride, so they're going to be tough to deal with in the playoffs. Nobody wants to play Woodlawn.
No.
Nobody. So, Samaw, Cole Poirier, the quarterback.
That's what I was getting at, because he's a guy nobody's talking about.
Look. We sent his highlight tape out. A lot of people are intrigued with him, and we're going to get it out again. He's 6'3½", 190, runs a 4.59 40. He's also a pitcher in baseball. He's a great athlete. He's learning quarterback. He's starting to come into his own. But the Hurricane kind of set back Samaw a little bit because they lost a couple of weeks of games. They're not even using their own field. They're using Dutchtown's field for the season. But Cole Poirier and the Samaw team is loaded on offense, Jace. They have four receivers that are really good. They have a great O-line. They got a junior on defense, Dylan Carpenter, who's, Tulane's already offered him. They've got some talent, and Samaw is the team that's got a chip on their shoulder, and I do not, if I'm a coach, want to play Samaw in the playoffs. Samaw is just starting to hit their stride, and this loss to Woodlawn, hey, they would have beat anybody Friday night, but Woodlawn.
I mean, Woodlawn almost beat Zachary. That shows how good
Woodlawn has got as much talent as anybody in the state. They just got to put it together.
And then one more Baton Rouge game I want to throw out is, because it was a huge one.
U-High beat Woodlawn.
Yeah, that's what I was going at. Yeah. U-High beat Mass and Prep 37-29. That's a big one.
I want to mention this. U-High is one of the best teams in the state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's not an all-star team.
They didn't have it's not the all-star talent they had a couple
but
years ago.
It's a team that's talented.
Yep.
But, yeah, they don't have, like, nine Power 5 senior D1s.
You don't have Christian Harris at wide receiver.
They only have two Power 5. Yeah. But they've got some juniors that are really good. And Miller Leach is a sleeper on O-line. I think he's a 1AA guy, D1 walk-on. Could be a D1 starter as a walk-on. I mean, and by the way, our fans are going to love, I'll say this, Dylan Moses' little brother, Jace, by the way, is going to be phenomenal.
Yep.
I've watched Dylan this year.
Yep.
As a ninth grader. It's like a clone of Dylan, but he's better than Dylan.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how big he's going to get in the end. He's only a freshman.
Right.
But Dylan Moses' brother has come on so much that he is their fourth running back, because they got three really good running backs.
Yeah, they do.
And guess what? When he comes in as the fourth running back, he's 6'1", 190, runs 4.45.
Yeah, I believe he already got an offer from LSU already.
He comes in as a safety and running back, and they've got about three or four freshmen like that. So they're very unique. This team is a team. And between Beck and the other running back they have that's a senior.
Yeah, Derrick Graham.
Derrick Graham. Yep. They don't even have to run one guy 20 times a game. They have also number 23, their little stud wing receiver slot back.
Yep.
They've got so much team talent. They're hard to scout because they're fast everywhere. Heck, Dylan Smith at DB has 5 interceptions.
Yeah. And he started safety for a long time.
He can't even get a lot of tackles because as a team, they gobble up everything.
Yep.
And they're very young, too.
Yeah, they got the Allsberries too. They're talented kids.
They've got number 43, who's a young linebacker.
Yeah.
He's a tackling machine.
Mm-hmm.
They got a team that could come back next year, but I want to mention this. The coaching staff at U High is doing an incredible job.
Yeah, Coach Andy Martin's doing a great
Andy
job.
Andy Martin, Opelousas native.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the best teams
yep.
in the state.
And then I have two more I guess I'll throw out. First one is Lafayette being Barb. Lafayette is a team we haven't really talked about, but they beat them. Karen Crow earlier this year.
I watched that game, Jace, actually the other day. And what really sticks out about Lafayette High to me, I've been watching Lafayette High since 91. Their tall quarterback is 6'4". His brother was the senior quarterback last year. He's a junior. He's phenomenal, by the way. He's 6'4", about 200 pounds. They're big. They're fast. They're physical. This doesn't look like the Lafayette High I've seen the last 30 years. This is a team that they can beat anybody. And they're a team to watch out for in the playoffs. That's not a fluke, beating Karen Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Their OD line's about 260, 270. They're very athletic. Their skill guys are tall, very fast. But this young quarterback they got?
Yeah, and who's the younger brother of the guy that's been starring for him.
Right.
He might be better than the older one.
But he's almost 6'5 in height. He's about 210, 205, 200, somewhere in there. But he's very athletic. And he's a guy that reminds me like a Holstein, like mm-hmm. Zachary. But he's only a junior. Another quarterback to put on the list, right?
Quarterbacks are
but,
stacked.
But Lafayette High is not a team that's like, it's an academic school known for great students. And every now and then you'll have a Trev Falk or you'll have this guy,
sure.
or that guy. But
right.
this team here, man, this is the best looking team I've seen on film in a long, maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if they're going to win a state title, blah, blah, blah. But man, again, don't want to play them if I'm a 5A team. I don't want to play them.
And I know that Newman does not, and Arch Manning, all the talk about Arch Manning, St. Charles Catholic.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just, they're the thorn in Newman's side, it seems like. And they won 12-7.
You know, St. Charles Catholic has numbers, great fans, and they're tough. They can scheme you. They're the team that can give Arch problems. And you know what? Let me say this. People that like to judge a recruit off of one game, let me just give everybody a warning about one thing. I am the guy that said Peyton Manning, and I earned up to it. I saw him
yep.
play one time in high school, and he didn't show me John Elway stuff in that uh-huh. one game. But guess what? He was a kid, and I should have watched him more games. Well, if you're judging Arch on this one game, let me just tell you, he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He's a kid.
That. Yep.
And I think the pressure and where people say he is and where he's going to be are different.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's going to be one day is phenomenal. He's just not perfect yet.
Yeah, he's still, what,
he's
a junior in high
yeah.
school. Yep.
But people watch a game and they go, oh, well, he didn't have a good game. But you know what? He's a junior. He's still growing. He's still getting better. But the expectations of this recruiting world has made it out of hand to me. I just,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Because I already had a lot of people call me and go, well, man, he don't look good enough to play. I'm like, come on. It's one high school game.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Watch him 3, 4, 5 times. And I'm just saying that because my own experience, I watched Peyton Manning one time. And this is when I was like your age, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't scout on one game.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have your night. They're going to have your number.
Yeah.
2 or 3 times a year. And look, even Joe Burrow or the Peyton Mannings of the world when they're in the NFL, they have
yep.
their number some weeks.
Yeah, Peyton Manning didn't beat Florida. That was his thing in college, and
he didn't win the Heisman. But
he didn't win the Heisman.
He should have.
Yeah, he should have won that 97 year.
But I mean, when we're getting to where we're expecting 17 and 16 years old to be perfect,
mm-hmm. yep,
it's part of that PC world.
It just so happened to be on national television.
Right.
But he is the real deal, and yeah, I mean he is a Manning.
Yeah.
So you got that too.
Well, no, I mean. He's going to be better. I don't know what he'll accomplish, right? I don't know if he'll, you know, like Eli won a Super Bowl.
Oh, he's more athletic than his uncles.
I know, but, you know, we just don't know what he'll accomplish
yeah.
in the end. But I'm just
right.
saying he's definitely the DNA, and he knows the game. He's definitely way beyond his years. And when he's a senior,
mm-hmm.
when you watch that game when he's a senior, you're going to go, whoa.
Yeah, he's still only a junior.
Right. When
you know?
When he's a senior, you're going to see everything come together for him. I've already seen it,
mm-hmm.
but I do think Holstein from Zachary,
yeah.
is good
yeah.
as Arch. I do.
Yeah.
And it's no disrespect to Arch. Arch is one of the top players in the country.
It's like one of those things, 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
You can take either one.
And Walker Howard is a great quarterback in his own way. So yeah. they're all great quarterbacks.
Do you ever, I mean, you covered the year with Josh Booty and Peyton Manning.
That's when I got in it.
Is this like, you know.
It's better.
Better than that year.
We only had them two, right?
Right.
Well, now there's two in North Louisiana that we're not even talking about yet.
Yeah, Mason Welsh from Northwood. He's a good one.
There's some other ones. And look, the kid at Lafayette High I just mentioned. So he's going to be in that group.
Yep.
And there's a couple of other ones. So, and then Chris, at Master
Deion Prime. Chris, got Ricky Collins. I mean,
we didn't have that many back then. It was just Peyton and Josh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two.
Right.
And then when Patrick Ramsey came out, LSU, by the way, screwed that up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there weren't. Even when he came out, there was nothing, right? And people said, we don't have any quarterbacks. Well, you know, Louisiana's always had one. Maybe you overlooked him.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never had three or four
come
out in 1 year that are top 100. Now you got maybe
in 2 years in a row.
Maybe you got three that could be in the top 50 in the end in the country.
Yeah. Like 2 years in a row.
In the top 10, right?
Yeah.
Top five. You might have Holstein and Arch in the top like one and two, and you might have this kid from Lafayette High, and you know what? He probably won't even get his deserved ranking, right? Because they don't want to put too many in there.
Mm-hmm.
He might not get in that top 50, and he should be.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, it's just crazy how much quarterback. And guess what? If I'm the new LSU coach, I'm like, wow, Nussmeier is going to be great.
Yeah.
Max is going to be great.
That quarterback competition the next couple of years at LSU is going to be fascinating.
Before we end the show, I was watching the game like a lot of fans. I'm sure a lot of listeners agree with me. But I was watching the body language of Nussmeier every time there's a touchdown. He's celebrating.
Yeah.
I think that is incredible.
Yeah.
He's not pouting.
Nope.
He's not by himself with his head down. He's not twittering, I want to leave.
No.
He is like, in the moment, I love being here. Man, this is great. Let's win.
You know he truly loves LSU and loves his teammates. He's having fun with it.
But you know what? Two quarterbacks can be happy, and we went over that before. You can have two that are different, and I think those two will play, and I think Walker will redshirt.
Yeah.
And I think Max and Nussmeier will complement each other next year with the new coach. And I think they're both going to play. I think we're going to have two. We're going to have like Jalen Hurts and Tua. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's going to be a little. And I really believe that. I don't think one of those guys will leave. I don't. Now Brennan, I don't see why he would come back.
He seems like he's the odd man out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's that old saying, people say, oh, you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, if you have two really good quarterbacks, you have two really good quarterbacks.
Well, like I said, Florida had Chris Leak and Tebow.
Mm.
You know, Ohio State had four 1 year, and they won it with the fourth-team quarterback.
Right. All right. Yep.
At Washington, you had Billy Joe Hobert and Mark Brunell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can go on and on and on, right? Yep.
Right, look, the 49ers had Joe Montana and Steve Young.
You want to ask Georgia if it's good to have two quarterbacks? JT Daniels might not play this year.
They're just saving him off in relief off the bench, it looks like, for a big game.
You got this walk-on quarterback.
Stetson Bennett's going to just.
But you need two.
Yep.
You can't have one and a walk-on.
It's just always the toughest position because there's only one quarterback on the field every time.
But the point I'm making is.
That's why it's tough.
That body language of watching Nussmeier, like a lot of fans have, he looks like he's embraced being a teammate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, that means moving forward. He's in.
It's his freshman year. Enjoy the experience of your freshman year.
And if you're Walker Howard, he is all that.
Mm-hmm.
Just redshirt your first year. Learn and do what you do at Oklahoma or Alabama. You're going to redshirt your first year.
They set you up for success down the road.
Do you really want to be the guy if you're not ready?
Right.
But all quarterbacks say they're ready.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's what I think is going to happen. And Walker will probably graduate early, and you're going to have all three in spring. Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be really great.
I want to have my binoculars out at LSU practice and see those three guys go at it, whoever the offensive coordinator is going to be.
Let me give you a prediction. This is how it'll work out, Jace. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Next year, Max will be a true junior. His dad played in the NFL.
Yep, Brad Johnson.
LSU will have a team ready to go because whoever gets hired, we'll use those six extra scholarships they approve in the transfer portal,
mm-hmm.
and then you can sign 25, so they have 31 guys. they can change this quick, and they've got talent coming back, all these receivers and the D-line, O-line.
Yep.
Max will go pro after next year.
Yep.
So if he goes pro after next year, then Nussmeier will step in.
They're set. They're set for the next 5-6 years.
But I really see Max going pro after next year. And then the fans will go, you know what? We were hard on that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you take away, I mean, LSU fans are now spoiled at quarterback.
Yeah.
As far as quarterback's expectations. But if you take away all what Joe Burrow did and just see, okay, Max Johnson now, everybody would be praising Max Johnson for what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, you give him a run game, and now everybody likes him.
Yep.
You know, you give him a run game, he's probably undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't have to do too much.
I mean, he did beat like an SEC record of like consecutive games.
And guess what? As he gets older, he'll get better, right? As you get older, you get better. So next year he'll be better, and he'll have a better run game.
And do you know what I like about these quarterbacks, Lee? You just talked about it. Max's dad, Brad Johnson, quarterback. Nussmeier, his dad, Doug Nussmeier, longtime NFL coach.
Walker's dad.
Jamie Howard played quarterback at LSU. All those guys know the expectations. They've been around the game of football for a long time and just being football guys.
And those are the guys that the dads are going to wait it out and understand what's right.
They understand the expectations.
They're not the transfer portal dads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just throwing it out. I'm just honest. The football dads or the football dads that played ball will wait it out if they see that's the path that's good for the team and their kid.
Yep.
But I really believe that, to end the show with this, the reason why this LSU job is the number one job in America, LSU has the quarterbacks to build around for championships. And if you're a coach, if I'm Bill O'Brien, if I'm Coach Kelly from Notre Dame, if I'm Dabo Swinney, the first thing I look at, if I say I want the LSU job, okay, what do they have at quarterback? Whoa, they got some quarterbacks. I can do something there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it always was LSU had the skill talent, the receivers, the corners, the running backs, but they didn't have the trigger man. But you have the trigger man now with all those toys to play with.
And whoever's hired, they're going to say, okay, we don't need receivers. We don't, except Aaron Anderson. Mm-hmm. We don't need a quarterback outside of Walker. We're going to load up on OD line and linebackers. And we're going to go find a couple of safeties that are ready to be men in this league.
That's all you need.
You don't need a kicker, right? Talk him into coming back, not going in the third round. He ain't a first, second round pick.
Right.
But talk your kicker into coming back, right?
I think the only kicker I can never remember going first round was Janikowski with the Raiders.
Right.
I was the only guy I can ever remember going first round.
York is great, but he would be best by coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you need is OD linemen, linebackers, and safeties.
Yep.
And a tight end, and a difference maker. And look, now they can get 6 graduate transfers on top of the 25 signees. So you take those 6 graduate transfers, Jace, and you get the biggest, most needs now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And make one in each spot. 1 O-lineman, 1 D-lineman, 1 D-end, 1 tight end, 1 safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
You knock that out, and then you can sign a regular 25 class,
right? Right. And then if I'm LSU, whoever the new coach is coming in, McMahon, the special teams coach, is like, he hit on York and he hit on Cole Tracy, I'm like, hey, you're staying with me, you know.
And Peyton Todd will be a great punter. He just Avery's older. That's the only difference.
Right.
Avery was just
more of a seniority deal.
And Avery had a great game against Florida, his best game, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's getting better and better.
Avery's
at it.
A senior, but he gets another year.
Yeah, with the COVID.
I wonder what he'll do. We'll see. Will he leave? Will he stay? But, I mean, he's now the punter.
He has the 18 jersey. He's a leader. He's the LSU guy.
If he talks to Von Rosenberg, he might stay 10 years, right?
Right.
Von Rosenberg, I'll stay. I was 30 years old.
Yeah, older than Joe Brady. Older than the pass game
coordinator. Older than Blake Baker almost. Linebacker.
Right, because he's still pretty young.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Whoever they hire, obviously, will keep 3 assistants.
Yeah,
they always do.
There's going to be, there'll be some assistants that stay.
And he'll bring in his own people.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever they need to upgrade, they'll upgrade. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm calling it. They're going after the big fish, Woodward, and they're going to land a big name. And you can hear this name, that name. Every day there'll be a different name, right?
Yep.
But it's going to be a big-time proven guy who's been coaching a long time.
We can say all these names all we want, but Scott Wilbur's such a, a businessman, a professional, that We won't find out until it's
Remember,
revealed.
Mulkey's never leaving Baylor, right?
Yep.
Mulkey went to how many Final Fours with Baylor? Six?
Yeah,
seven?
She was rolling with
She's
that Baylor program.
She's not leaving. Mm. Okay.
they get him.
Well, yep. Coach Johnson just took Arizona to the Omaha World Series. He's not leaving Arizona. Nope. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, he convinced – yeah, I mean, he hired Jimbo from Florida State. I know it was a different
Chris
situation
Peterson
there.
Chris Peterson from Boise
Chris
State
Pete from
to Washington.
Washington. Yep. So.
But, I mean, our people are like, don't think LSU can't pull this off. They can easily.
And I just have to say, a new athletic director, too, makes a whole lot of difference in these situations. And you just have to trust Scott Woodward.
He knows how to hire people.
Yep.
The prior guy did not know quite like this.
Yeah, right.
And I really like the hires. I think – we don't have time today, but Will Wade's team coming back could be the most talented team we'll talk about in the future.
And they get this new football coach. The coaches
are going to be
on
incredible.
This, like, across the board in sports.
That's
just pretty incredible, the coaches they have.
And let me tell you what, LSU is farming California right now in baseball. Talk about recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this stat. I'm going to blow people's mind. I've never seen this with LSU, and baseball in California is the real deal.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of California kids in the SEC doing great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same in football.
Yep.
But Johnson already has commitments. Get this, Jace. From 5 of the top 10 players in California for the class of 2022.
Wow.
4 commitments out of California in the top 10 for 2023. Now, that's a first in the history of LSU baseball. Maneri couldn't do that. Skip didn't do that.
No.
Now, Aaron Hill came here. He's the only guy I remember from California that was, like, all world.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to California, and what he's doing, he's been recruiting these kids for, like, 3 years, right, to Arizona? Yeah.
Yep.
And they're wanting to follow him here. And, I mean, do you think the California Pac-12 coaches are talking?
Hell,
like,
yeah.
Man, this guy's coming over.
He's a threat. Yeah. He's going to be a threat.
And, look, California is the best producer of Major League Baseball talent in the country outside of Florida, and Texas is right behind them. But California, Ole Miss, half of their team is even Arkansas had some great California players.
Right. Yeah, baseball, like in the
it's
West Coast,
different.
Is kind of like the South and for football.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get a pitcher from California or a hitter, they're way advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just killing it, man. He might end up with 6 of the top 10 players for 2022 in California. And our fans are like, well, that's too much. No, well, he knows them. He's just he,
yeah. That's his demographic. That's right. Coaching in Arizona.
Now,
he just knows those guys.
Now, a year or two from now, removed from California, he might sign more Florida guys. But he doesn't have to go to Texas right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's still getting his
Louisiana guys. Yep.
And so I think Johnson is man. I can't wait for baseball and basketball and Kim Mulkey with girls basketball.
Yeah.
And gymnastics are signing some of the top prospects in the country now.
Yeah, and Beth Tarina's been pretty good with her softball program.
Beth is so close.
Yep, she's always in the conversation.
In the top 8 every year.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And in other schools in the state, like UL with Napier. Napier, I think, might end up coming back. Let me time out real quick on this. There's going to be other openings.
Uh-huh.
But they might be able to keep him one more year. I really believe that.
Yeah, he's doing an excellent job in Lafayette.
Now let's see what Skip Holtz will do at Tech.
At Tech, I think he's doing an excellent job.
I don't know if he'll come back.
Yeah,
and then Willie Fritz.
Fritz, he's going to stay in Tulane.
He'll stay
in Tulane.
Frank
Selfo's done an excellent job with Southeastern.
Terry Bowden will be back at ULM.
Yep, he's
Northwestern will have a new coach, I believe.
Yeah, I believe
so. Unfortunately, Brad Laird, I don't think he'll be back.
Yep.
Southeastern. Now, Coach Selfo might be a hot prospect
at
Southeastern.
Yeah, he could. And he's had success at the coaching quarterbacks. That's
Southern's got a new coach, so he'll be there for another year or two.
Like, remember the early Tulane days with Lossman and Sean King and just when they were on a roll?
Roy Dale Williams.
He was the offensive coordinator. He was a quarterbacks coach.
Yeah.
So he's been really good with developing quarterbacks, and you see that with Cole Kelly right now.
Moeldy Moore, Patrick Ramsey.
Yep, right.
They had a great unit of players in the McNeese. Now, next year?
I think Frank Wilson's doing a pretty good job over in McNeese.
He'll be judged next year.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be his third year. Yeah. And that'll be the year they're looking at. And as far as Coach Rebo, I mean, he's got his job safe at Nicholls.
Yeah. He was just named the winningest coach in Nicholls State history. Yeah. So he's
good. I mean,
yeah, he's good.
How long? We don't know. I mean, maybe another 2-3. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You never know in the coaching profession how long someone will stay. But who knows? Maybe the new LSU coach will hire some of these 1AA coaches as an assistant coach. You never know.
Right, it would be good to have a Frank Selfo as an assistant, or a Tim Rebo or something
you
like that.
Know. You never know.
It might happen.
Outside of Napier, everything's on the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll see how that works out.
In Napier, I mean, he's obviously built something great in Lafayette, and he's just one of those things he hasn't made in Lafayette right now, and he might just wait until the job that he wants for sure.
Yeah.
To lead that situation.
And my last statement before we end the show. I just don't think Napier has a resume that Fickell has. Fickell's just been doing it longer as a head coach, more proven as a head coach, longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cincinnati's beaten some big-time programs on the road, Notre Dame this year, and they've beaten several.
And he's already been at the reins because of what happened with, believe it wasn't Urban Meyer, it was Jim Tressel, and he was the interim coach.
Right.
So he knows at Ohio State, so he knows.
He played there.
Yeah, right.
You know what? Everything will work out for everybody, but I, who's to say LSU's even going to offer Luke Fickell the job? You know what I mean? Even though we think
he would be one of the first
coach.
Or second candidates, you don't know what Woodward thinks.
That's how big the job is right now.
Yep.
I mean, we don't even know if Pete Carroll's called him. You know what I mean? Like I told you the other day, Seattle's not really doing great, and he might be ready to get out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young 70. Like he could do 5 years. Like
yeah, he doesn't look like he's 70 years old.
But I mean, you just don't know who's calling. Woodward. I mean, it could be your boy at Oklahoma, like you said. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the table. We'll see what happens. And then
it'll be a big name regardless whoever.
Huge.
It'll be a big name.
We'll see what happens there. Any final thoughts, Jace, before we go?
No, it was just a great football weekend. And maybe I should go against LSU on my picks because every time I've been picking them, they lose. And I pick against them, they win. So I'm going to use the reverse psychology there and pick against LSU the rest of the year.
I'm gonna go ahead and give my score prediction for Ole Miss.
That's always an interesting game.
And look, here's the deal. I think LSU will play with a lot of energy. I think LSU will play with a lot of effort. I think the fans from LSU will be renewed to go. I think LSU will have a lot of fans there.
That's the two buddies coaching against each other.
That's
with
right.
Ed and Lane. They're both buddies.
But I do think that Matt Corral is the real deal.
Do you have them winning the Heisman right now?
No. I think they're wearing down.
Mm-hmm.
LSU has a chance to beat Ole Miss because I watched them against Tennessee. Ole Miss looks tired. They look like they just don't have the depth that the media thinks they have.
The last two weeks, the defense had to win the game for
they're
them.
They're tired. So I think LSU will put up – I'm going to put this out there. I think LSU will score 42.
I think they're going to have to, too, against
right.
his offense. Yeah.
But I think Ole Miss will be score 45.
Okay.
I'm going 45-42, and I think it's just going to be a phenomenal game. I think that Corral will be ticked off because he remembers the LSU game being one of his worst games. They're at Ole Miss, so I'm giving them the edge. It won't be a lack of focus. It won't be a lack of effort. It's just I don't think we can stop Matt Corral. I really don't. I don't think we can stop him.
Okay.
I just don't, and they have magic right now in their offense, and I just, Florida, they're a little bit more advanced in Florida throwing the ball, and Florida was able to put up 42. And again, LSU's team is starting to play hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're relieved. Ed's relieved. But this is that game that they might not lose another game, though, I think, except Alabama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. LSU can beat Arkansas. They could beat ULM and A&M. They could beat A&M at home.
I think they'll make a bowl game. I really do.
6-6, 7-5, 1-2.
Yeah, they'll make a bowl game.
And I'm hoping for 7-5 at least.
Mm-hmm.
8-4 with an upset here would be 8-4 with maybe losing Alabama.
Yeah,
but they can win this Oxford game.
Yeah, they can win 2 out of 3 plus ULM.
I just think Corral, the quarterback, is just he's in a zone, and he willed his way over Tennessee. Tennessee played good, but he looks like the most advanced quarterback in college football. But I just don't think they're going to give it to him.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to finish as one of the top, you know, Danzy teams.
This has been a weird year for the Heisman because there's not been that one person that's
You can't
just,
get it if you don't go to Atlanta, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll
We're
get it.
We're coming to a point that they're nominating Jordan Davis, the defensive lineman for Georgia, because he's the most dominant defensive player in college football on the best team.
I don't think you can get it when you're not in the top five teams in a conversation. Now, do I think he's the best player in college football? I don't. I think he's one of the top three.
Yeah, right.
But I think he's the hottest quarterback in college football, and you can't really stop what he can do. And he can run, too.
I mean, the last couple of years, I mean, Joe Burrow, he stood out. I mean, he was the highest. I mean,
but when
this
fan,
year is not
but,
really
But here's
a
the
guy.
Difference. LSU fans can accept a loss to when they see effort.
Yeah.
And when they see passion and they see a great game. And they know in the situation that we're going to be, you know, better next year, I believe.
Like, even if LSU found a way to lose that game against Florida, I would have been happy about the game
because they played
great effort and they fought hard. And that's what you want to see. You want LSU's known for that tradition.
Now, look, if Corral has a bad game, LSU wins by two touchdowns.
He did have a bad game against LSU last year.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just – the depth's not there for LSU to run with Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we're going to be out of gas. LSU's going to be out of
gas.
Yeah,
if it's going to be – I agree with you. Yeah.
So that's why I give the high points on both sides.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a shootout. With that being said, if it's a shootout, LSU can't hang with Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's why I got 45-42. It could be, you know. I think
56-49 is going to be one of those games. And the defense might step up, get a couple turnovers and score. But
I'm relying on a defensive touchdown. That's why I have the 42 points.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they could beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not unbeatable. It's not Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee came close last week.
If this was a home game, Jace, I would go with LSU.
Yeah.
Because the fans would probably be 90,000 again for this one.
Sure.
Home.
Yep.
But do expect 10,000 plus at Ole Miss now that they won the Florida game. That the renewed interest, the fans, they want to go to Oxford anyway. So you see 10,000 purple and gold fans in that stadium.
Also, before we leave, I just want to, you know, show off a little bit. I'll admit when I'm wrong, and I'll boast when I'm right. But, you talked about Mississippi State and Alabama last week.
Yeah.
I said Alabama was going to blow out Mississippi State. So
you got it.
I got that one right.
You know, let me mention this because we got some state fans that listen. We got a lot of state fans, believe it or not, in North Louisiana. I think that State could have stayed in the game, but they scored two field goals in the first half, and you got to score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in the red zone, they couldn't get touchdowns. And Mississippi State struggles in the red zone, and I thought they would finally be okay there.
And was it Rogers banged up, too?
And
that
Rogers
did,
hurt
that
his
did.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't trade field goal touchdown with Alabama. You score 6 points instead of 14. That's what got them. And then all of a sudden you're down by 28, you know, and all of a sudden they got there on you and it's over. You know, fourth quarter's just third team.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, State, Leach, this offense is it could be the greatest thing and it could be an Achilles heel for him.
Yeah.
Because when you get inside the 10, you can defense it.
Yeah.
Because the routes are like
it's
these going
to have to
yard
be.
Routes. And he doesn't have the running back to complement the passing game and that Mickey Mouse five.
And he also doesn't want to run the football, too.
Yeah.
So for him to
have a long tenure at State, he needs to go sign a great running back. Because if you don't get a great running back, he had Kylan Hill last year.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a great running back, then you're going to have trouble getting the red zone when all your plays are designed for five-yard outs and ends. I mean, it's not –
And he's going to have to show a little bit more balance, too. I mean, it's not only signing a great running back, but he also will need to play, like, the play calling needs to be a little bit more balanced.
Well, I just don't think he has a running back to have a run game this year. I don't think they have one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Johnson kid, meh, he's okay. Yeah. The other kid, meh.
Right.
I mean, but they need to get some better recruits, and they have a good O-line.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good defense. They got great corners.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it just. For him to stay in Starksville,
he's
going to have to go step it up on recruiting and not just get receivers and a quarterback developed.
Yep, but I was wrong about this. I thought Kentucky would upset Georgia.
I did too. Yeah.
Georgia convinced me that they they're the best team in college football right now.
Georgia reminds me of like a cat chasing a rat.
Okay.
You know, like a cat toying, like before he actually tries to get the rat. Like, I'm just going to sit here and just put my paw out, just keep you back the whole time. And, you know, I'm just toying with you.
Well,
and Kentucky, you just watching the game, didn't you feel like they were never going to get inside the 20 of Georgia? Like, that was just like there was like a red line that was just like burnt.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get inside the 20. It's not going to happen. We don't care if we give you 12 downs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They made Will Levis look average.
Don't they remind you of it, just being around LSU and following LSU? Don't they remind you of that 2011 LSU team?
Good point.
Yeah, they have a lot of similarities.
They reminded me that, and I think I speak for a lot of LSU fans, but I remember when LSU played Alabama that year at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
LSU had Marcus Spears and Marquise Hill and Lionel Turner, and they had all these Kyle Williams. You could have gave Alabama the ball 14 times on the one-yard line on LSU's one, and they were going to stop them.
Yeah.
Like, you could eat a sandwich and go leave the TV, Jace, and say, Bama will not get in the end zone.
Because LSU, that was, like, really the last time the defensive line was really deep. You had the Honey Badger and Claiborne.
They had a D-line that was just suffocating to where you could not run the ball. In Georgia, the difference between LSU and Georgia's defense, LSU has a bunch of pass rushers. Georgia has, like, you can't run on these big guys. These
big guys in the middle, like Jordan Davis and the other 330-pound.
When they grab you, you're down. Like, there is no moving them. I mean, they are dominant. And you know what? They might be the first team to win national championship without a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it might defeat all these theories. Like, you might have a 5'10 quarterback walk-on manage Georgia and win a national championship.
With this team, they can do it. Their offensive line's huge, and they're physical, and they got, you know, two or three running backs they rotate.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Georgia and Alabama play in Atlanta, if it still ends up being that, if Georgia doesn't hiccup against Florida and go down, right? If Georgia plays Alabama in Atlanta, this is the first time that Georgia can man up on Alabama's O-line and say, you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're actually better than them up front, like talking about both sides in the trenches.
Do you think Georgia's intimidated by Robinson at running back?
No.
I mean, it's not Najee Harris and Richardson and you know, Derrick Henry. It's not Ingram. It's none of those guys. Those guys were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to Robinson.
Robinson's a good back, and he'll play in the NFL. He'll probably have a long career in the NFL.
But he's nothing to – he's not going to run all over Georgia.
No, he's not the quality of backs where Derrick Henry was and the you know, when Richardson was in college.
And then bringing Roydell Williams off the bench is not like their second team old days, Yarbrough.
I thought McClendon getting hurt.
It's big time.
Who's also Jace as well.
right.
But with him getting hurt, I thought that was huge.
Huge.
Even more, I thought more huge than Chris Allen getting hurt and then some of the defensive players getting hurt, because that really triggered a lot of the depth.
Well, think about it.
Trimmed down a lot of the depth for Alabama.
Saban signed the number one running back in the country like four times in 12 years. Richardson was the number one running back out of Pensacola, Scambia in the country.
Yeah. Najee Harris was the number one player in the country.
And Derrick Henry was too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and then you get Ingram, who's the top running back in the country, his senior year. So you didn't do that. There's a gap there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There's a gap. You can see it. You're mortal,
mm-hmm.
all right? And they don't have that battering ram of three backs to wear you out.
And they're going to be in trouble if something happens to Robinson.
A&M exposed them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jimbo, give him credit. He exposed
Saban
of his weaknesses.
They're not the defense they were.
No.
I mean, Florida was moving the football well and running the football well.
I'm telling you, I never thought A&M's quarterback would beat Alabama. I never thought that would happen, because he's not one of those legit guys that you said, oh, he's a Joe Burrow. You know, he's this, he's that. But he, you know, Jimbo attacked Bama, and they hit them where they're weak, and that they're not strong at linebacker either on defense.
And I said a couple weeks ago, but it's weird the quarterbacks that did beat Alabama, because you do have the, you know, the Joe Burrows, the Johnny Manziels, the, you know, those guys, obviously. But there are also, you know, Bo Wallace beat Alabama. Steven Garcia beat Alabama. They have
But those are early years, though. Those are early years.
Yeah.
the Garcias and the Wallaces were in the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But there's not many quarterbacks to name that did beat Alabama. So Chad Kelly. Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys you mentioned, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss guys, yep.
So Ole Miss has his number, and I thought Matt Corral would be the next one, but he didn't do it.
Yeah.
He was flat. I think he was too amped for the game. He just didn't have that game.
Yeah, some of them make sense. Like, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson. I mean, the Clemson guys, they beat him. Joe Burrow beat him. Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow. I mean, those make sense. But, yeah, you see the Bo Wallaces and the Kellys and the Zach Calzadas and those guys.
Calzada might not even be A&M's quarterback next year. Okay?
Right.
So
he had himself a great game. I got to give it to him. He played well.
And don't count out Jimbo Fisher. I said earlier, no. But you never know, man. You just don't know. This job is huge to people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like I said, the quarterbacks that come back and the talent that's coming back, you only need to go get certain players and you're competing for a national championship next year. This is not a rebuild.
No.
I repeat, it's not a rebuild.
Well, the talent's there.
It's a restructure.
Yep.
It's a restructure of culture and just getting it, rebuilding it back to mindset. It's not a talent rebuild. Just needs talent in two or three key spots, but you can get that with that new rule of six transfers, and that allows LSU to sign 25 and 6. Can you believe 31 now they can get? They can, if they can't find all their solutions in 31 signees and 6 transfers.
Especially where the talented states you have around you, and from the high school ranks, and then, like you said, through the transfer portal.
Enjoyed it today, Jace. Thank you. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll have a show on Friday, and we'll go from there. I hope everybody has a great Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.